I want to start off with prayer this morning. As most of you heard probably on the news before you came, there were more officers that were shot this morning in Baton Rouge. I'm not sure how many. I didn't get the details, but how many? Three. And the situation in our country right now is such a critical situation. And I really want us to stand together and pray for the condition of our nation. So stand together with me this morning. We desperately need reconcilers right now in our nation. The voices of those in the black community, in the white community, in the Hispanic community, those who will speak up and have a powerful message of reconciliation, because this is just a critical hour for us. Father, we just come before you this morning on behalf of our nation. We cry out to you, Lord God, the Prince of Peace. And we ask you, Lord God, to raise up in this nation, Lord, powerful voices for reconciliation. We ask you, Lord God, to somehow interject yourself in this situation. And may people see, Lord, that the answer is you. And we ask you, Father God, to move mightily, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to work against the work of the enemy. We thank you that you came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And we ask you, Father God, to put down the schemes and the plans of the enemy. And we ask you, Lord, to raise up a standard, a voice, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, to bring people together, Lord God, at this critical hour in our nation. And so, Lord, we cry out to you this morning, Lord. Watch over us, Lord. Protect us, Lord. Stand in the gap. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. I wasn't here last week, but I did go online and listen to Jeremiah's message. How many of you were not here last week? You didn't hear it. I really advise you to go online and just check it out. When I heard him speaking about positive mental attitude and the drill that they used to have in their youth basketball camp, I was really amused. But I was also inspired, because I can remember times in my life when this whole positive mental attitude thing was such a critical thing. So Jeremiah, what did you learn last week? Those of you that were here, how's your PMA, Westside? Oh, yeah. It's a good thing I put it up there. Some of you didn't know what to say. Boy, am I tired. Boy, am I enthusiastic. I know it sounds juvenile and contrived, but this whole thing speaks to the issue of you and I being proactive in regard to our positive mental attitude, our frame of mind, and the way that we think. Many of the great battles of life are lost in the mind before they're lost on the battlefield. And matter of fact, I might say most of the great battles in life are lost in our minds. And I totally concur that our optimism is under attack. And it's so easily lost. And many of us have, even right now, you may be in a situation where you've kind of lost your grip on your optimism. And life just doesn't, you're not moving through life with a lot of optimism at this point. Our enthusiasm is under attack, or I might say our passion. In my experience in life, our passion for the Lord is always under attack. And if we lose our passion for the Lord, then we've really lost the very purpose and reason for living. Our joy can be lost unless we hold on to it and protect it. Just after Valerie and I were married, we took a road trip to Chicago to visit her parents. And it was a long trip. And it was August. It was hot and it was muggy. And we had a wonderful trip and a great time. But something happened to me just as we crossed into Chicago and passed the city limit sign. All of a sudden, and I didn't know what had happened, but all of a sudden I just became gloomy and irritable. And a darkness really crept into my soul. Right as I was driving the car, trying to find Valerie's mother's house, I was just irritable and kind of angry. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just tired. And I thought maybe the next day things would be better, but the next day it was worse. And for 3 days, while Valerie was enjoying her mother and her sister and having a great time, I withdrew myself to the basement and sat on one of those bean bags. You know those old bean bags you used to have? I sat on one of those bean bags and just stared at the TV for 3 days. And I just felt awful. And suddenly, I was sitting there on my beanbag watching the TV, and the Lord spoke to me so clearly, like a flash of light. And I suddenly became aware of my condition, of the situation I was in. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You've been robbed." It was just a clear voice, "You've been robbed." And I actually scared myself because I suddenly jumped up from the beanbag and I started shouting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And instantly and unexpectedly, I just rebuked the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, "I'm taking back my joy." It really loud. And I was dancing around in the basement. Everybody came running downstairs to see what was going on because I was screaming down there. And I was shouting hallelujah. And I just said, "You know what? I'm free now." And they didn't know what in the world I was talking about because I don't think anybody noticed that I was in a funk. But I'm telling you this story because it's a kind of an extreme version of what happens when we're not careful to monitor our positive mental attitude. And it took me 3 days to realize that something was at work here. I was not sick. I was, you know, I was oppressed. And there was a spirit of oppression that was hovering over me, this little big black cloud hovering over me. And it completely disappeared when I noticed it and attacked it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an extreme version of what we're talking about this morning, but God wants us to pay attention to where we are in terms of our positive mental attitude. The last week, as Jeremiah was talking about enthusiasm or passion, if we've lost our enthusiasm, it's kind of funny, you can go for months sometimes and not realize, "Hey, I've lost my enthusiasm." And then suddenly you wake up to, "Hey, I've lost my enthusiasm." And, you know, or misplaced it, or I've been robbed. Slowly by slowly, enthusiasm wanes, and it's replaced by complacency, a condition that the scripture calls lukewarm. Slowly by slowly, your joy is gone, your passion has faded, and the wind is now gone from your sails. And I might be talking about you this morning. If I am, I believe that God is going to give you a simple solution to the problem that you're facing. We find ourselves in need of a mental transformation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we actually did, and of course, that is preceded by present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord for the transforming of your mind. And a lot of times, we have to actually come to the place where we realize, "Hey, something's wrong here. I need to present myself before the Lord for a mental transformation. Something needs to take place in my mind." And Matthew chapter 12, verse 11, when I was just a young Christian, I didn't put it up here, but it says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." What in the world does that mean? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's really meant to say you have to have some aggression when it comes to countering the work of the enemy in this world. There are things that are ours that we simply need to take by force. They've already been given. They're laid out before us. Standing between us, though, and those gifts is the work of the enemy, an enemy that doesn't want us to experience those things. From the days of John the Baptist until now, there is this violent people that take these things by force. They make them their own in spite of the resistance of the enemy. Say this with me. My mental attitude is my responsibility.
My mental attitude is my responsibility.
Now, it's not your responsibility to fix, because we know that only God can fix. But it's my responsibility to take my mental attitude to the one who can fix it. And I can't fix it, and therefore I come in dependence before the Lord, saying, crying out to him, "Lord, fix me." At that moment, that is a moment of transformation in all of our lives. That's how we got saved. We came to the place where we realized we couldn't save ourselves, and we came desperately on our hands and knees before the Lord and said, "Save me, Jesus. I can't save me." And it happens. It's my responsibility to build up my positive mental attitude and to maintain it in the Lord. Last week, Jeremiah spoke about the positive mental attitude of optimism and enthusiasm. And this week, I want us to touch on the positive mental attitude of gratitude. Here's a key verse. And I want you to notice the thankfuls that are in this verse, almost seemingly almost out of place in this verse. This is Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. It says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." It's just, all of a sudden, it just throws this out. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called to in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So you got all this. You got wisdom, teaching, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness. If you'll notice something about the songs that we sing in our worship and praise, they always have to do with thankfulness. Everything has to do with thankfulness. Our songs of worship have to do with thankfulness. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. So what we're seeing here is here this thankfulness is permeating all the good things of God. In our works, we're doing the works that God has called us to do with thankfulness. We're singing songs and hymns with thankfulness. We're participating in the work of the body of Christ with thankfulness. And so thankfulness has got to be a core part. That's a positive mental attitude with which we do these things. We go forth with thankfulness. Gratitude is a combination of two words. This is really simple. But gratitude is a combination of two words. Gratitude and attitude. And we're talking about positive mental attitude. Gratitude is a positive mental attitude. It's a grateful attitude in life. Those of us who have had children, we had four of them, and we know all too well the difference between a grateful and an ungrateful child. And every parent makes an effort to build gratitude into the life of their child. They're grieved when a child is ungrateful and unwilling or unable to express gratitude. They're grieved because we know that it makes a huge difference in relationships. An ungrateful child makes a mess of relationships. Relationships with his parents, other kids, their own siblings. And a grateful child is such a blessing. It's a sweet smell in the house. The sweet smell of gratitude, we all know what that is. Ingratitude is an ugly thing. And gratitude is truly a beautiful thing. And we can see that all the way up, not just in our home, but when you meet a grateful person, when you're working next to a grateful person, it's totally different than working with someone who never says thank you or rarely recognizes the contributions of others. And it's a completely different thing. A little boy was given an orange by a very nice man. And the mother asked, "What do you say to this nice man?" The little boy thought for a moment, and he handed the orange back to the man, and he said, "Peel it." Romans 1:21 speaks of a generation who knew God, but they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Here's what it says. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. They became futile in their thinking and their hearts were darkened because they failed to thank God for being God in their lives, for his benefits, for his goodness. And you don't have to be evil to fall into this trap. We can know God and take him for granted. And when you're taking him for granted, sometimes you don't realize you're taking him for granted. You don't realize that a week has gone by and you have not expressed one word of gratitude to the Lord. And or anyone else for that matter. I mean, this is such a great challenge. You don't have to be evil to fall into this trap. You can just simply be preoccupied with your own stuff, and you can fail to look up and remember what God has done. And that's why when we read the New Testament, it is so permeated with this whole attitude of gratitude. It's such an essential part of maintaining a joyful relationship with the Lord. And the story of the 10 lepers, this is Luke chapter 17. The story of the 10 lepers is all about gratitude. I want to go read this story with you. You probably read it before, but Luke chapter 17, verse 11. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus just threw that in there, meaning that maybe the rest of them were Jews, but he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What strikes me about this passage is this last sentence. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. They were all healed of leprosy, but they were not all made well. This is a big thought. They were all healed of leprosy, but something was wrong. 9 of them went away healed of leprosy, but not healed of a deep condition in their life. They were unwell, even though their health was now good. There's more to healing than the physical. This man's gratitude drove him back to the Lord and probably kept him near the Lord all of his life. All of his life, he spoke of the time when he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ and he was healed. And he came back in gratitude and threw himself at the feet of Jesus, thanking him. And this is the kind of thing that goes on and on and on in your life. Gratitude endears you to the Lord. And it will really impress you if you go to the Word of God and you study thankfulness in the Bible. The verses will really impress you. When you do, you'll find a number of exhortations and a few direct commands. The command is, be ye thankful. Be thankful. I mean, we read that in Colossians just a minute ago. The Scripture just says, be thankful. I mean, it's a command. It's also an exhortation, but it's a command. Why would I have to be commanded to be thankful? Well, coming back to the analogy again of the parent and the child, why does a child have to be commanded to be thankful? You would think it would be natural. You hand the child an ice cream bar, and the child says, "Thank you. Thank you." I mean, you'd think that would come natural, but we know it doesn't. It doesn't come natural. We take those things for granted. Why do good parents demand that their children say thank you? We all instinctively recognize that gratitude is one of the key and essential ingredients of a healthy life. It's through thankfulness that we learn to appreciate the kindnesses of other people and the kindnesses of our God. Thankfulness makes us aware of the positive things around us. When you're thankful, you actually see what's going on. You see what other people are doing. Maybe it has nothing to do with you. Someone's over there doing something, and you're looking at them, and you just feel the urge to go over and say, "Hey, I just want to come over here for a minute and appreciate you for what you're doing. I'm so grateful that you're doing what you're doing." And through thankfulness, we remember what has been done for us in the past by those who love us. At the graveside of every military man, someone hands the wife or a family member a flag and says, "On behalf of a grateful nation." On behalf of, we've seen too much of that just recently. But on behalf of a grateful nation. And I wish we were a grateful nation. You know, gratitude is sorely missing in our nation and at every front. I believe that if we had more gratitude and more affirmations of thankfulness in our nation, it would make a huge difference in the relationships between people. But we don't throw gratitude out anymore. We throw insults and all kinds of horrible things. Those who are thankful appreciate the sacrifices of others. And thankfulness also accentuates the positive things in life. Look at a couple of scriptures here. And I could have chosen a whole bunch of, because there's a lot of scriptures where be thankful is interjected in the spirit of the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. How many circumstances are all? I'm going to let you meditate on that for a moment. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that's an interesting verse. Give thanks in all... Don't you think that's a little over the top? Give thanks in all circumstances. And a person can only do this if they firmly believe in a certain biblical principle. And that biblical principle is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here it is. We know, and I love that, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, it doesn't say that all things are good. Be thankful in all circumstances. It doesn't say all circumstances are good. And this doesn't say that all things are good. It says that God works for our good in all things. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, rest assured, know this, that God has your best interest in his heart. Know this, that no matter what, where this whole thing ends up or goes or how it goes, God is at work for your good in this situation. And that means there are times when pain produces something good. There's times when the struggles of life will produce something good. As a matter of fact, if we believe the way this is written, we know that in all things, God is working for our good in every situation in life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 is a little bit similar to that. It says, giving thanks always for everything. Again, it seems a little over the top. Giving thanks always for everything. Now, I don't know about you. There have been times when I've had to struggle to come to the place where you could finally give thanks for this or for that or for the other thing. But invariably, we all have to come to that place. You finally realize, you know what? While I was in the valley, while I was in the circumstances, I couldn't find the grace of God to say, God, I thank you for this. But now I've worked through this and I finally realize, God, this has produced a work in my life. This has brought me low. This has humbled me. This has done something in my life that is very precious to you. How do you know if you're grateful? How do you know if you're grateful? Well, you know if you're grateful if your wife says you're grateful. No. How do you know if you're grateful? The evidence of gratitude is praise. The evidence of gratitude is praise. The evidence of gratitude in my life is directly connected to the amount of praise in my life. I'll develop this a little further. When you study the subject of praise, you always see that thanksgiving is very close beside it. Very close beside it. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Okay, now you're preparing to go into the presence of the Lord. What do you need to put on? What do you need to wear when you come into the king's house? The first thing you want to put on is thankfulness. Enter into his gates with thankfulness and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Thankfulness and praise are so intricately connected. We praise the ones we are thankful for. And this is not only true of our relationship with God, this is true of our relationship with people. How do you know if someone is truly thankful for their mother? You know they're truly thankful for their mother when they won't shut up about their mother. Oh, my dear mom, My mom. Oh, my mom. And you know, this always reminds me of Rebecca and her relationship with Valerie. She just never stops. If you ever look on her Facebook page, there's all these tributes to mom. Once in a while, there's a little tribute to dad. But you know that she's truly thankful for mom because she praises mom. And I'm saying this just to illustrate, just to point out, when there's an absence of praise, you may not be as thankful as you think. You can say, well, I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my kids. But if you never express that to your kids, the question is, where's the beef? Where's the reality? Where's the truth? If that's not expressed to your kids, something is really wrong there. Praise should be an integral part of all of our lives. And I want to challenge you to do a little word study. It won't take you very long on thankfulness, gratitude, and praise in the Bible. And you're going to come out of there realizing, you know what? I need to turn up the thermostat here. I need to do better. I need to do more in this area of my life. I need to overcome any kind of resistance or reluctance on my part to express gratitude to the people who are around me, and especially to my God. Expressions of our gratitude toward God should be part of our daily conversation. And I think they are for most of us, many of us. And yet, this is something you need to monitor. Back to what I said in the beginning, we need to monitor our attitude, and especially our gratitude. We need to monitor, am I grateful? And how do you know if you're grateful? You're grateful because you're out of your innermost being flows this river of praise for God. I'm so thankful for Sunday morning worship. But I realize that many Christians, that's really all they have when it comes to expressing their gratitude to the Lord. There's Monday morning. There's a normal course of our life. And all of us need to grow. One of the scriptures that's interesting to me, it's Psalm 66, verse 1. This is actually the last slide that I have up. It says, make his praise glorious. Make his praise glorious. Now, what does that mean? Actually, praise is a work of art. And there was a book that was written by a guy named Juan Carlos Ortiz many, many years ago where he talked about how to praise God. And he talked about the fact that most people, when they come into a relationship with God, they're very limited in their praise. They say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. But they don't know where to go from there. Thank you, Jesus, for what? And as you grow, you can actually grow in praise. You can make his praise more glorious. You start out with this praise that kind of looks like a little kid picture with little stick figures and all of that. But through the course of your life, praise should be a masterpiece where you're actually able to say, Lord, I praise you for your wonderful works in my life, for this, for that, for the other things. I praise you for the things that you've done. And that you should be able to just go on and on and on, recognizing with great gratitude the amazing things that God has done in your life. And we don't get there unless we actually practice, rehearse. It has to be intentional. We need to grow. We need to make his praise glorious in our life. Praise is something, and gratitude is something that needs to be cultivated in our life. And so the question of last week was, how's your PMA? And we all said, boy, am I optimistic. This morning, how's your PMA? Boy, am I grateful. You want to try that again? How's your PMA? Boy, am I grateful. Try that on your wife. Burst through the door. Boy, am I grateful. I mean, I'm telling you, it makes all the difference in the world. Break into your kid's bedroom and say, boy, am I grateful. Come to church on Sunday morning, find an unsuspecting, innocent victim. Boy, am I grateful. And this, and I know it sounds, again, it sounds contrived, but this is where we need to go with this. Maintaining and shepherding this positive mental attitude of gratitude. We come to worship on Sunday morning with this, boy, am I grateful, Lord. Every word of what I sang this morning is true. I mean, I'm so grateful for who you are, for what you've done in my life. How often and in what ways do I express my appreciation or my gratitude? And that's the question that I want to leave with you this morning. First to the Lord and then to those around us. When we come to prayer, we should always express gratitude. When we come in a relationship, we should always express gratitude. We express gratitudes when we speak to others about God. We give our testimony. I hope you give your testimony once in a while. Every testimony has to do with appreciation or gratitude for God. I am so thankful for what the Lord has done in my life. You would not believe the transformation. And you begin to share that with someone else, and they're looking at you and saying, now there's someone who's grateful. There's someone who's grateful for the works of the Lord in their life. When we sing, we always sing words of gratitude. And finally, when it comes to our relationships, words have the power to uplift and the power to tear down. And so I want to just remind you this morning, it's not just, boy, am I optimistic. I mean, that's really, we need to be optimistic. Boy, am I grateful. And I want you to practice that this week through random acts of gratitude. Random acts of gratitude. Make it a point. Remind yourself. Write it on the back of your hand. Random acts of gratitude. Make it a regular habit to affirm through expressing your gratitude to other people. So I want to leave you with that assignment this morning. Even today, within the next hour, practice gratitude on someone. Boy, am I grateful for you. I was so glad a few years ago we instituted thank you notes in our staff meeting. And so every week we have a section right in our staff meeting, and it says thank you notes, but it's who can we appreciate? Who can we express our gratitude for? And there's so many, many of you have gotten those cards, but there's always someone doing something, and we need to be the someones who are grateful that people are doing things for the Lord and in his service. So I want to leave you with that this morning, and I want to pray as we close that the Lord would remind us of this so that we can begin to practice it on a regular basis. Boy, am I grateful. Father, as we pray this morning, Lord, we are so grateful. We are incredibly grateful, Lord, for the works of the Lord, for the wondrous works of our God. We're so grateful, Lord, and we want to speak of your wonderful works, Lord, because we're so thankful. And Lord, in our relationships, we pray, Father, that you would grace us, Lord, to take relationships to another level in gratitude. Boy, are we grateful. And so, Father, we just ask you to remind us of this word this morning, Lord, so that we can walk it out, Lord, and fulfill the scripture that says, be ye thankful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.